Thank you, Mr. President, for allowing me to take the floor again. The United Kingdom, of course, aligns itself with the EU statement, but I wanted to address some further comments on the UN Secretary General's disarmament agenda on behalf of the United Kingdom. Mr. President, the United Kingdom welcomes the fact that the Secretary General came to Geneva in May to launch his disarmament agenda. His decision to launch the agenda here recognised the importance of Geneva in the disarmament world and its added value in being able to link the disarmament community to the humanitarian, human rights and development work taking place here. It was also a clear statement that we need to better connect Geneva and New York, the two disarmament hubs. The launch of the agenda here provides us all with an opportunity to use the expertise we have in our disarmament community across delegations, UN bodies, academic institutions, civil society, and international organizations to make progress. Mr. President, for the United Kingdom, the area ripest for progress is part three, the section entitled Disarmament That Saves Lives. During the drafting period, we convened a group of countries and civil society interested in peace and security issues to generate a contribution focused on conventional weapons issues. This was welcomed by the drafters of the agenda, and many of our points are reflected. We particularly welcome the call in this section of the agenda for disarmament and arms control to be better integrated into the UN's wider peace and security agenda. Understanding how arms control instruments can be best applied in the conflict cycle to prevent conflict or the return to conflict is rightly identified as an area that needs further study. We are pleased that UNIDIR are writing an initial paper on this issue, and we look forward to co-hosting an event with them in Geneva Peace Week in November to launch it. We also welcome the call for further study into improving data collection on casualties across the UN system, and the initiative to combat the illicit circulation and trade in small arms at the country or sub-regional level. The agenda states that this will be supported by creating a multi-partner trust fund within the Peacebuilding Fund, though we understand that the mechanics of this have not yet been worked out. We hope that UNODA will provide further information on this in due course. Mr. President, in part two of the agenda, entitled Disarmament That Saves Humanity, we welcome the recognition that norms against chemical weapons use have been challenged in recent years by their repeated use, so far with impunity, in Syria, as well as in Malaysia and the United Kingdom. This section also commits the UN to building the capacity of the Secretary General's investigative mechanism into the alleged use of biological weapons, which the United Kingdom strongly supports. From the United Kingdom's perspective, the section dealing with nuclear issues appears to offer no new ideas beyond the use of the Secretary General's good offices to explore new approaches and measures to reduce risks and build confidence. Unsurprisingly, we do not support the sections on the Ban Treaty, which will never become a multilateral norm and never constitute customary international law. Part four of the agenda rightly highlights understanding the implications of developments in science and technology as an important area for future discussion. On the issue of increased automation of weapons, we welcome his insistence that humans must remain in control of the use of force at all times. We also welcome his helpful emphasis on the importance of weapons reviews under Article 36 of the Geneva Conventions. We also welcome the Secretary General's recognition in Part 5 of the agenda that we need to strengthen partnerships for disarmament. In particular, we echo his call for the equal, full and effective participation of women in disarmament processes, his emphasis on the involvement and empowerment of young people, and his recognition of the role that civil society, including the private sector, can play. Mr. President, in our contribution to the drafting of the agenda, we called on the Secretary General to articulate the challenges that needed to be addressed. He has certainly done that. As we reflect on how to find solutions to these challenges, our first objective should be to preserve the current norms and standards that we have spent decades building and that have delivered effective and powerful non-proliferation and arms control regimes. We continue to believe that the majority of the international community can and want to address these challenges and support a robust rules-based international system. Thank you.